This declaration allows further, up to 100%, the state can match that 25% of municipal projects should they choose. But specifically and most importantly, this allows residents and businesses to tap FEMA federal assistance.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, my conversation with Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. I talked to the Republican about his efforts to have President Biden declare a major disaster declaration for Dutchess County following the remnants of Hurricane Ida. We also talk about COVID-19, kids going back to school during the pandemic, how he's getting along with new New York Governor Kathy Hochul, and whether President Trump should run for another term in 2024. But we started with the tragic death of former congressional candidate Kyle Vandewater. The Republican and veteran, who was 41, ran for Congress in 2020 in New York's 19th congressional district.
Obviously, there are details that we should leave to his family to speak about. But this was a heartbreaking tragedy for his children and his family. Kyle and I got to know each other really only during his campaign for Congress. He was an American hero, and we ought to recognize that service, the sacrifice he made on behalf of the country, and his desire to serve our community. It is also a stark reminder that men and women who come home from service carry both physical and emotional scars, and we have to do more to provide for their support, to extend our love, and to make sure that there are resources available to them when they struggle. And I believe Kyle did struggle, and this is a really heartbreaking tragedy. We just extend our prayers and thoughts to his children and family.
Had you seen him or spoken with him recently?
You know, it's interesting. Kyle and I spoke when he just launched his effort to run again for the 19th congressional seat. We had not spoken really that much thereafter. And when we saw each other at an event recently, some days after, I know he withdrew from the race, and I sadly had not heard from him since.
So the details are, as you say, they're still coming out, but it appears that, you know, this may have been a suicide. And a lot of the statements that have come out from people like you have said, you know, there's help available, there's veterans lines available, there are helplines and so on. Where do you see, you know, the need for society to do better by people who do come back from, you know, troubling deployments, and where are we falling short?
Well, we're falling short everywhere. First of all, America needs to do better by everyone who struggles with mental wellness, period. We have created two systems of care, physical and mental, and we are failing. We are failing miserably in the area of mental health because we still have not confronted the stigma associated with mental illness. Those scars are carried deeply among men and women who serve, in part because I think they have a difficult time, acknowledging it. And we still treat mental wellness as if it's some, you know, weakness, as if somebody chooses to have mental health concerns. My mom diagnosed with depression. I lived it and continue to see her own struggle. And what I can tell you as county executive, we have done as much as we can within the limits of local government to provide tools and resources. But where we fail is we have to confront it earlier. We have to acknowledge the trauma that causes it. And trauma is not only battle wounds and scars. It can be a divorce. It can be a feeling of insecurity. It could be the loss of a job. Something triggers that trauma, and identifying it in particular early on among young people, and then wrapping our arms around them with intervention, prevention services, and then long-term care. Where America and New York fails the most is there is not long-term care. There aren't enough beds. There aren't enough physicians. There isn't enough treatment. and there isn't an opportunity for enough people to simply make the connection. I'll say that broadly. Specific to veterans, there is little question that the most effective tool we have is peer-to-peer and vet-to-vet interaction. That needs to be broadened. And so what we did in Dutchess, when the previous governor threatened to eliminate the funding, we stepped up and put the funding on the table. The federal government needs to do more to expand those opportunities for veterans and really support the local treatment that exists in communities like ours. And that means embedding services in American Legion halls and in community colleges, making sure employers know those resources exist, and making those connections in every chance we can, because you just never know when an individual is going to reach out. And when they do, we cannot be innocent bystanders. We have to be able to use and deploy the tools we have to be effective. And that means just being there when they're needed. I care passionately. I mean, it is a tragedy what occurred, and Kyle's loss is heartbreaking. I am passionate about this. I have seen the failure. Dutchess County, you know, received for generations New York State's mental health patients, and then the state washed its hands of long-term care, and all of a sudden, these individuals who need support ended up on the streets and homeless shelters, in jails, and we today don't see enough long-term support, and that's a federal and a state necessity.
You mentioned the previous governor. You ran against him, of course, were critical of him in many ways. Do you expect that and other issues that you deal with in Dutchess County to improve under Governor Hochul? And what's your estimation of how she's doing so far?
I appreciate her outreach. I think her local government background is serving her well. And frankly, we are already seeing a collaborative approach. We're not going to agree on everything. We certainly, no one would expect that. But government needs to function and needs to coordinate, and she's already embraced that a sort of hallmark, if you will, of her first several weeks. I've had several conversations with the governor. As president of the County Executives Association, we're already seeing a greater degree of outreach that's useful. She's put up some resources to support local mandates, which is helpful. And I suspect that there will be a more collaborative relationship, and that's something that New Yorkers will benefit from. Let me just jump back just a hair, and that's to say, sure, on the issue of mental health, even to his credit, Governor Cuomo in the 2021-22 state budget included funding for stabilization centers. It is the Dutchess County Stabilization Center that is the model for that state effort. And what that is a 24/7 walk-in phone text facility where no matter what mental wellness concern you have, you can interact and connect with services. That's an important next step statewide. Every region and every county of size needs that, and the state and federal government should support it. But what we also then need is the transition to longer-term community care, residences, beds, and that long-term support that those who struggle with mental wellness need. And that is a federal and state commitment that must be made, and we are losing time and we are losing lives.
Let me go to a couple other subjects while I have you.
Sure.
Before we were talking, you were dropping kids off. It's the start of school. How do you feel about in-person education going forward this fall in your county? How are vaccination efforts going? How likely is it that schools will be able to remain in person this fall?
Oh, I don't think there can be any reason that we should step back from in-person education, period. There are countries in Europe that have been getting kids to school, by the way, without masks, not seeing transmission, because they have a rigid in-classroom approach, which is useful and necessary. We absolutely failed our kids in not summoning the courage and creativity that other places, including some private schools and schools across the country and schools in other countries, embraced in order to keep kids in a classroom setting. I think the model needs to be changed. Classrooms don't have to have four walls and a ceiling. They can very much be a walk on a nature trail. They could be at a park. But we have to summon every ounce of innovation to keep our kids in a classroom setting. We cannot allow ourselves to fall back on that. And I would say in particular for those with special education needs, the regression and the lack of care, not by teachers, but by the institutions, right, all of us, is heartbreaking and cannot be repeated. As far as what we're seeing in Dutchess, I will tell you, our health department continues to provide support to school districts. We think absolutely kids should be in a classroom. We support the extracurricular and the athletic activities, but it's a time of stress for families, and we just have to be sensitive to that. And our kids are, are precious, and we're just trying our best to provide the support and resources that districts need to at least navigate and help families navigate what are some very challenging times. On the front of vaccinations, we are seeing increased vaccinations. We're at about 75% of adults. I want that number higher. That's at the mid-range in our region. But at the end of the day, what we keep telling residents is get the questions out there, get the answers you need, talk to the people you trust, and we hope you conclude to choose to be vaccinated. I think that the most appropriate approach for the next 25% of our population is to continue just to provide those resources so that they can come to the conclusion that's best for them. And we trust and hope and ask that that conclusion be a vaccination choice. And we're getting there. Significant outreach. Dutchess has a outreach task force. We're doing digital and radio and television promotion. We're in community events. It's just a slow, sluggish outreach that is going to be the way we get to broader vaccination.
I was talking to your colleague George Latimer in Westchester County, yeah, who's convinced that there is a segment of the population that will never get the vaccine, no matter what kind of outreach you do or what kind of questions you answer. The question is, should we be looking at mandates for public workers? What's your feeling on that?
I don't support a mandate in that case. The question I always have, and I offer this to anybody, what's the problem and what's the tool you wish to use to solve that problem? What problem will we solve by mandating public employees to be vaccinated? I'm at 75% of county employees being vaccinated. What problem are we going to overcome by getting to 85% of county employees? There will always be people who choose not to. And I will say, and the public health experts understand this and agree, herd immunity is something that you need to achieve almost instantaneously, or it's going to take a long, long time. Meaning, right, you've got to get to 80% before the virus mutates and mutates and mutates. We didn't get there. There was a horrible rollout of vaccinations by the state of New York. Without question, the previous governor sidelined his best players, local public health agencies, that slowed vaccination. There was hesitance, even among those who now are clearly advocating for vaccination, which caused a delay. There is the personal decision. There are ideological decisions. There are religious decisions. In order to get to this, this magical herd immunity, we needed to get to that number much quicker. Because we didn't, it is just going to be a slower, sluggish continuation of vaccination. And that does mean that we not only have to assume certain risks, but there are going to be people who choose not to, and sadly will contract the virus, and hopefully not severely. But again, we're going to continue to see the virus mutate, and we just have to encourage people to do what we know is best, which is hopefully choose to be vaccinated. That, I think, is the right approach.
President Biden approved major disaster declarations for 6 counties in New Jersey and so far 5 in New York that were impacted by Hurricane Ida. You say that your county should be added to that list. You wrote to the president. You wrote to Senator Schumer and Gillibrand and Congressman Maloney and Delgado. And you say many businesses in central and southern Dutchess County were damaged by flooding, and local governments also are in need of federal assistance. So, first of all, have you had any response to that letter? Second of all, what are you seeking?
So, Dutchess County did receive and experience significant impact that we believe absolutely qualifies this county and several communities within it for the disaster declaration. I think because that some of that damage is not as readily seen on TV and social media platforms, It's a little bit harder to quantify, but we've quantified it. We've been dealing with our supervisors and mayors. We have local businesses and residences that have impact. We know that we exceed the threshold for the declaration. Congressman Maloney has responded. Senator Schumer has responded. We've been working with the delegation. The governor's office is aware of our desire. I do think there needs to be added pressure. We do absolutely not only meet the threshold, but our residents and small businesses need that assistance under these circumstances. And again, just the way the storm hit and the severity of the rainfall, some of our damage was a bit delayed because upstream tributaries, upstream rivers, upstream creeks ultimately took time to crest and then flood downstream businesses and residences. So we have their attention, but there's no time to delay. And we're hopeful that the president will move to add Dutchess County to the disaster declaration.
And just to be clear, what would that declaration do for Dutchess County? What does it allow you to access?
So the declaration would enable direct assistance to small businesses and residences. Currently, municipal projects do qualify for as much as 75% aid if we can quantify it, and we can. This declaration allows further, up to 100%. The state can match that 25% of municipal projects should they choose. But specifically and most importantly, this allows residents and businesses to tap FEMA federal assistance in the forms of direct grants, in some cases low interest loans, but direct grants. That's the lockbox that gets unlocked by this particular declaration, and it's necessary.
I mean, who decides which counties will be on the list and which won't? You appeal to, the president and members of Congress and members of the Senate. Whose call is that?
So that's a fine question. So the process, it is the president's decision. It is a federal, it falls within federal law, just as a mayor can declare a localized state of emergency with certain resources, county executives, governors. The president makes that final determination, but it is based on information that is compiled by the locality impacted, provided to the state, and then the governor advocates for that. Now, obviously, we can enlist others to engage in that advocacy as well, and they are. But in this case, ultimately, is the decision of the president to add Dutchess County to that list. We believe, based on the federal formula, and there's a set of impact costs, we exceed that threshold and we qualify. We need the state to advocate. The governor has been open to that. We've been talking to the governor's staff so that the president could add Dutchess County to that declaration.
I just have one political question for you before we wrap up, if that's all right.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
former President Trump plans to hold some rallies in the early voting state of Iowa in the coming weeks and also Georgia. As a Republican and a high profile one in New York State, would you like to see him run for president again?
I'm not going to go anywhere near that today. Honestly, we have a presidential election years from now. Right now, and I mean this sincerely, right now I have a friend who took his life. We have a tragedy in our community. We're trying to respond to this, the storm. He will make his choices. Our party and the public will express their desire. I'll leave that to a more appropriate political time.
That's the county executive in Dutchess County, New York, Marcus Molinaro. Thanks as always for taking the time to speak with us.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.